Good morning. Thank you all for coming today to share the Dharma this morning. Today we'll look at a koan, case number 13 in the Wumen Kan, Teishan, bowls in hand. As I've tried to do before, I'll be working with Robert Aitken's translation, and I'm going to attempt to stay with the Chinese names rather than the Japanese. So I'll try to make sure that we know who's what as we go along. The case reads, Teishan one day descended to the dining hall, bowls in hand. Shui Feng asked him, "Where are you going with your bowls in hand, old teacher? The bell has not rung and the drum has not sounded." Teishan turned and went back to his room. Shui Feng brought this matter up with Yento. Yento said, "Teishan, great as he is, does not yet know the last word." Hearing about this, Teishan sent for Yento and asked, "Don't you approve of this old monk?" Yento whispered his meaning. Teishan said nothing further. Next day, when Teishan took the high seat before his assembly, his presentation was very different from usual. Yento came to the front of the hall, rubbing his hands and laughing loudly, saying, "How delightful! Our old boss has got hold of the last word. From now on, no one under heaven can outdo him." And Wu Men's comment, "As to the last word, neither Yento nor Teishan has yet dreamed of it. When you examine them closely, you find they are just like Punch and Judy in a booth." And Wu Men's verse, "When you realize the first word, you understand the last. The first and the last. As to this, it is not one word." So, here we have a little drama with three main characters. Teishan is known as Toksan in Japanese. Shui Feng is known as Seppo. And Yento, whom we know as Ganto in the Japanese. Teishan lived from about 780 to 865 of the Common Era, which puts him towards the end of the Tang Era. Now, those who have worked on other koans regarding Teishan will recall him as a brilliant young scholar, highly learned in the sutras and the scriptures of Buddhism. And he was particularly expert in the Diamond Sutra. In fact, since his family name was Cho, he was sometimes called Diamond Cho. And he made his living giving lectures and discourses on the Diamond Sutra. At some point in his early career, he began hearing strange rumors about things going on in the south of China, something about transmission outside the scriptures, transmission not involving words and concepts. And this really gets him. And so he packs up his notes and commentaries on the sutra and heads south to wipe out that nest of vipers. Transmission outside the scriptures indeed. Ha! Well, he gets his comeuppance soon enough. Somewhere near the end of his journey, Teishan stops at a little tea shop for a bite to eat. And the tea shop is run by one of these characters that shows up every now and then in Zen lore. One of the most frightening characters in all of Zen, the dreaded tea lady. Women do not hold a large place in the history of Zen in China, and that was just the nature of the society at that time. But there were many women including one whom we honor in the ancestral line that we chant, Lu Tie, on Iron Grindstone. Most of them, however, are anonymous. But there were many who were serious students of masters, of Zen masters, and they kind of hover in the background, waiting for the unwary, and they strike when you least expect it. So Taishan walks into this tea shop, and he asks for some little cakes, which were commonly sold at the time, and they were sometimes referred to as mind refreshers. So he asked for a few of them. But instead of serving him right away, the tea lady points to the large pack that Taishan's carrying with him and asks what's in it. Taishan responded that it contained all his notes and commentaries on the Diamond Sutra. And you can just imagine how he said that. It's all the opening the lady needs. "Good sir, if you can answer my question, you may have the cakes for free. But if you cannot, you must go elsewhere." And Taishan, of course, says, "Ask away." The Diamond Sutra says that past mind is ungraspable, present mind is ungraspable, future mind is ungraspable. Pray tell me, which mind will you refresh with these mind refreshers? Well, Taishan is completely stumped. But there's something there, because unlike some of us might do, he doesn't just slink off in dismay or embarrassment. Instead, he asks the old woman who her teacher is, and she directs him to Lungtan, whom we know as Ryotan in Japanese. So he goes to Lungtan, and after a long interview that lasts far into the night, Taishan has a shattering awakening to the fact of emptiness, that nothing has anything behind it. But like many new converts, then he goes off completely off the deep end. He burns all his notes and commentaries on the Diamond Sutra. As uncompromising as he was in defense of the scripture, he is now just as adamant that there is nothing. And he goes about the country, visiting various monasteries and insisting that there is nothing, wiping out the universe with a loud "cuts." After one of these incidents, Master Kueshan remarked, "Hereafter that lad will go to the summit of a solitary peak, build himself a grass hut, and go on scolding the Buddhas and reviling the ancestors." That's not really a compliment. When he finally does settle down to teach, he becomes famous as the master of 30 blows. If you say a word, 30 blows. If you do not say a word, 30 blows. Speak, speak! But at the time of our story here, Taishan is an old, old man, well into his 80s. His teaching is extraordinary, if you can see it. Every day in the morning sittings, we recite with Hakuin, "The gateway to freedom is Zazen Samadhi. One true Samadhi extinguishes evils. It purifies karma, dissolving obstructions. It purifies karma." Taishan has become pure, simple in the highest sense of the word. There are a few koans, a very few, the reading of which may bring on tears. For me, this is one of them. For Taishan has arrived. It took him 80 years and more, but he did it. I know we're not supposed to talk this way, but Taishan is one of those who, in the words of Dogen, has full knowledge and nothing more to do. That gives the rest of us hope. It is possible that sometime in this lifetime to reach it, to really reach it. Master Keizan, in one of his commentaries in the Denko Roku, describes such a person. He writes, "You cannot call this person who has reached this realm Buddha, nor can you call him ordinary. Though you seek his shadow, you cannot find it. Though you ask about his whereabouts, you cannot find him." Taishan has passed beyond teaching as we normally think of it. His is the teaching of no teaching. But it takes at least a partially open eye to discern that there is even teaching going on, let alone what it's about. Taishan one day descended to the dining hall, bowls in hand. Taishan, bowls in hand. Robert Aitken Roshi translates this as relating to the Japanese term takatsu, the receiving of alms. This is part of monastic practice in Japan even today. Now, in our Western culture, begging is considered the sign of utter destitution, seen only in social failures, drug abuse cases, mental illness, and so forth. But in Asian societies, the receiving of alms is a very different matter. It's a religious practice. For a monk to walk the streets, bowl in hand, is the practice of acceptance, whether it's candy, well-cooked rice, or a spoonful of sour millet. All is received with equal gratitude. In giving and receiving alms, we give without question, just with gratitude. We accept what is given without judgment, just with gratitude. To give and receive food in the spirit of giving and receiving alms is an expression of sangha, of interbeing, harmony. It's very much what this koan is about. We do this in Sesshin when we eat at Orioki. We accept whatever is in the crock that the server places on the table, and we accept with gratitude. In Sesshin, or at any sitting, we're all monks and nuns. We accept what is given us with gratitude, with each breath, each move, each moment of sitting. But in our everyday lives in the world, how do we look at our food? Are we grateful? Do we accept what is given us? How long do we spend looking at a menu, deciding what we want? How do we look at our lives? How much time and energy do we spend deciding what we want? How much? What kind of food? Money, fame, sex, security? All of the above. The great way is not difficult. It just avoids picking and choosing. This picking and choosing is a form of blasphemy. It implies the universe doesn't know what it's doing. It somehow needs our help. Pat Hawk once described enlightenment as total acceptance of everything. I don't think Taishan had any idea of picking and choosing when he came into the kitchen. He came in as a monk, bowl in hand. As for Shuifeng, his position in the monastery was that of Tenzo, the head cook. This is a tremendously challenging position, and as anyone who's done this at Sesshin knows, it's an enormous amount of work. In a monastery, this position is one of the most responsible and usually goes to a senior person with long experience. Now, Shuifeng is a very sincere and hardworking student, but at this point, he is nowhere near reaching his later potential. He spent his early life as a monk wandering around a great deal, bouncing back and forth from one teacher to another. He struggled long and mightily with his practice, as many of us do, but one could not say he had gotten it yet. Now, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Practice is what's important. The realization, the Kensho experience, is the icing on the cake. But wherever he is in practice, he has, I think, what's the most important attribute one can have to engage in this practice: bone-headed persistence. Beyond that, he's also a man of great passion. You know, he's never going to give up. So, Shuifeng sees Taishan. Or does he? When we see our teacher, our boss, our children, a friend, whom do we really see? What do we really see? Do we see the reality? Or do we rather see our own desires, jealousies, longings, ambitions, preconceptions, judgments? What does it take to really see? Taishan sees clearly. Shuifeng does not, not yet. And Shuifeng calls out, "Where are you going with your bowls in hand, old teacher? The bell is not rung and the drum is not sounded." What does he think he's doing? How would you greet your teacher if he came early to dinner? Taishan returns to his room without a word. What is he doing? And then we have the third character in the drama, Yento. Yento is a young man here, younger even than Shuifeng, but much more advanced in practice. Shuifeng and Taishan have a lot in common. They both struggled as young men, and both lived to a very great age. They can be thought of as great oak trees, growing slowly but steadily into maturity as accomplished Zen masters. Yento, on the other hand, is like a meteor, streaking across the sky in a flash of brilliance. Enormously talented, he became Taishan's head monk at an early age, but he was murdered by one of a gang of bandits that were roaming China at the collapse of the Tang Dynasty. He was around 60 at the time. He left no successors. So Shuifeng tells Yento the story. And Yento's reaction is peculiar. Taishan, great as he is, does not yet know the last word. Now, wait a minute. Taishan does not yet know. To even speak of knowing or not knowing is to miss it. Last word? Zen is beyond words and concepts, isn't it? Yento seems to have grievously insulted his own master. Now, here we have to remember a couple of things about ancient Chinese society, and especially in the ancient monasteries. As in most ancient societies, privacy, as we know it, simply did not exist. Everything was done communally. Eating, sleeping, bathing, going to the toilet, it was all pretty much public. And that includes Dharma exchanges between monks and with a teacher. The idea of doksan, the private interview with the teacher, was a Japanese invention that came much, much later. So Shuifeng's interaction with Taishan, Taishan's response, and Shuifeng's relating the story to Yento were all out there, totally public, demonstrations. Now, how do you suppose all the monks, especially the younger ones, many of whom with relatively little experience, how would they view it? Wow, he challenged the master. Is the old man losing it? Now, Yento sees immediately that Shuifeng has missed it. He hasn't seen the subtle and profound teaching of Taishan, the teaching that is Taishan. But now he's in a quandary. What do you do at this point? He could remain silent, as Taishan did, but that would only perpetuate Shuifeng's error. He could say something like, "Hey man, you blew it. You don't have a clue." But that wouldn't be very kind. And Shuifeng could very well get angry and defensive. That wouldn't help. And it could well be viewed by the other monks as kind of the establishment putting down the challenger. So Yentou has about 2 seconds to come up with something absolutely brilliant. And he does. He improvises a koan right on the spot. A special koan just for Shuifeng. That's what I call service. He disarms the assembly by seeming to admit that the master might not be quite up to snuff. Taishan, great as he is, does not yet know the last word. That's the setup. It's a wonderful example of skillful means. Yentou is not afraid to get down in the weeds and kick up some dust if he thinks it might help. The last word. What is this last word? And of course, the question is for us too. With every koan we work on, the master is speaking directly to us. The generosity of our ancient teachers knows no bounds, not of time, not of space. Now, Taishan gets wind of all this. And given what we know about rumor mills, even in a place like this, of course he got wind of it. And he calls for Yentou. But see how he reacts. He doesn't berate him, doesn't preach, doesn't even ask what the heck he meant by all that last word stuff. Just very quietly, "Don't you approve of this old monk?" There's no fear here, no resentment, no preaching. No Taishan. So Yentou whispers to him. What he whispers, we're not told. We're pretty much on our own on that one. And again, Taishan is silent. What silence is this? Is it just the absence of noise? There are places in the scripture and the koans where the whole universe is brought to a halt. A non-Buddhist once asked the world, "Honorable One, I do not ask for words, I do not ask for no words." The world, honored one, sat still. When questioned by Manjusri about the gate of non-duality, Vimalakirti remained silent. Taishan is silent. If you can penetrate to Taishan's silence, you too will have full knowledge and nothing more to do. Well, we'll all keep working on that. The next day, you can imagine the mood of the crowd at Taisho. What will the old man say? What's going to be the comeback? And Taishan doesn't disappoint. He's different somehow. Again, how? We're not told that either. And here's Yentou up at the front of the hall rubbing his hands. How delightful. Our old boss has got hold of the last word. From now on, no one under heaven can outdo him. Now, who's this for? Shuifeng, the monks? Us? He's really rubbing our noses in it, isn't he? Wu Men's commentary. As to the last word, neither Yentou nor Taishan has yet dreamed of it. When you examine them closely, you find they are just like Punch and Judy in a booth. Other translations put it, they're puppets on a shelf. Punch and Judy, puppets on a shelf. Is that an insult? Is that a criticism? Kukla and Ollie, Kermit and Miss Piggy, even Abbott and Costello, puppets all. pairs working in perfect harmony and with explicit timing, reacting to each other with lightning speed and precision. Even when Punch and Judy are beating the daylights out of each other before a crowd at a medieval village fair, they're working in perfect harmony. In fact, they're usually operated by the same person. Same person, just different hands. As for the last word, have they not heard it or dreamed of it? Has anyone? So in the end, after all the sound and fury, did it work? Did Shui Feng get it? Did he embrace that question of the last word and wrestle with it and come to awakening? Apparently not, because we learn later, in a later incident, how Shui Feng did come to awakening with Yento's help. Well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There's the analogy of the 100 arrows. The first 99 miss. The 100th hits the target. Does that mean those first 99 arrows were a waste of time? Don't think so. But our story wouldn't be complete if we didn't say something about Shui Feng's awakening. Robert Aitken Roshi includes this in his commentary on this koan. The two monks, Shui Feng and Yento, stayed overnight at the village of Aoshan, where they were snowbound for several days. Yento spent much of his time sleeping, but Shui Feng sat up all day and most of each night doing zazen. During one of his waking moments, Yento said, "What are you doing, sitting there all day long like a mad deity by the road?" Shui Feng pointed to his chest and said, "I am not yet peaceful here." Yento said, "What kind of experiences have you had in the past? Tell me, and I will examine them for you." So Shui Feng told him about a realization of emptiness he had with the teacher Yen Quan, and about an awakening he had on reading the verse Dungshan had written upon his own enlightenment. "He is the same as me, yet I am not he." On still another occasion, Shui Feng said, "I asked our teacher Taishan whether or not I could share the same experiences as our ancestors, and he gave me a blow with his stick. It was as though I were a bucket whose bottom suddenly dropped out." With this, Yento gave a shout and scolded him, saying, "Don't you know what enters the gate cannot be the treasure of the house? If you want to propagate the great teaching, it must flow point by point from within your own breast to cover heaven and earth. Only then will it be the action of someone with spiritual power." At that instant, Shui Feng suddenly had realization and cried loudly, "Today, for the first time, Aoshan has become enlightened." Remember that Aoshan was the village and where they were staying. He could have said, "Today the whole world has become enlightened," or even the whole universe. The Buddha said, "I and all sentient beings have in this moment attained the way." It's strange, but sometimes one can have the real thing, a genuine true experience of emptiness, and still not trust it or even recognize it. "Oh well, yes, this happened, but that can't be it. That sort of thing doesn't happen to me, not me." Then a shout, a blow, a noise, a remark by the teacher in Doksan, and, "Oh, for heaven's sake, it's here, right where it's always been. How could I have missed it all these years?" Shui Feng had spent his life up to that time looking for something out there, not realizing there isn't any out there. Eventually, we have to trust our own experience. Shui Feng went on to become one of the truly great masters of the latter Tang. He's said to have trained over 50 successors. Wow. If a modern Zen teacher trains 10 successors, it's considered tremendous. 50? And I bet his whole life he recalled with deep gratitude that he had such Dharma friends as those two puppets on a shelf. Wu Men's verse. When you realize the first word, you understand the last. The first and the last. As to this, it is not one word. Back to that last word. Words are tricky things. Those of us who make our living with words, and that's probably most of us, are very prone to start taking them too seriously. We hear portentous phrases like first word or last word. We're likely to go running off in the wrong direction, looking for something special. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Give me a word, or I'll kill the cat. Well, there are words and there are words. It's ironic that the teachers of Zen, the sect that claims transmission outside of words and concepts, seems to be by far the most prolific gang of writers and talkers in all of Buddhism. Zen teachers are always looking for the turning word, the word that sets us free. Is that the last word? Obviously, this is not about a word as we normally think about it. After all, mu is a word, isn't it? But is that all it is? Be careful here. Don't get caught up in words about doctrine or metaphysics. Is there a first word to realize? A last word to understand? Are they the same? Are they different? This is not one word. What is this? Well, not to worry. This sort of thing clears up as we go along. Just go on practicing. Just mu. Just one. Just the breath. Just the sitting. Never mind words, first or last. Never mind those two puppets and their dream within a dream. Just get to work. Just do the practice. Thank you for being here.